Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts from 970 ESPN and Steelers Nation Radio, David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just a couple of Daves chilling, talking Steelers. Now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave. He's Dave Bryan of SteelersDepot.com, a place to get your latest and greatest Steelers information. And I'm David Todd of ESPN Pittsburgh and the Steelers Radio Network. Dave, it's been so long, I almost forgot the intro. Dave, let's get to a couple things. I know you and Alex talked about Cortez Allen. I'll just say what I've said all along. The timing seems odd. The narrative about the Steelers and the cap, we can finally maybe wash that out of the national media's mind for some period of time now. They've been able to do everything they've done this offseason, and really the only money they've created is the $1.7 million they get from Cortez Allen. They didn't even designate him post-June 1, so they seem at this point, you know, they're probably going to do something somewhere along the way, but they seem at this point like they are, I don't want to say biting the bullet because that sounds like they're doing something wrong, but they're setting themselves up to be in cap nirvana going forward if they don't have to do much here. It has been, in that respect, a really good offseason.
Yeah, and you know, going back to the Cortez Allen thing, you know, it's important to learn from that from the position of, you know, you can understand, I guess, the timing of it because of, you know, the start of the off-season program and because of the reports out there that they potentially asked him to take a pay cut, which would make sense, and putting a deadline on it by the start of the off-season program. So, you know, I kind of thought, David, and I mentioned this to Alex the other day, I kind of thought as soon as he made it past the start of the new league year, yeah, I kind of thought that we'd see him at least at training camp.
Now, and I think we both still think that that would have been the right thing to do, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think you let him compete for the job, and if he wins it, great. If he doesn't, well, then that's when you cut him loose there. Now, I don't know if we'll find out more, I mean, about the knee as time goes on and how much concern maybe there was there compared to price tag and everything that goes along with it. But, I mean, let's look at it this way, too. Here we are a week before the draft now, and as far as I can tell, Cortez Allen hasn't had anybody interested in him. Maybe Cortez Allen just doesn't want to play football anymore. You know, maybe that's a possibility we haven't looked at either. But, I mean, we'll of course, monitor this as time goes on. But they didn't make this move because they needed cap space. I think that's pretty obvious. They made this move because it's a personnel decision, and they evidently had a deadline, some sort of deadline on Cortez Allen being the start of the offseason training program, and now he's gone. So I don't think that's going to play any part in how this draft was or wasn't going to already take place. It's just one less member that's going to be on the team now competing at training camp.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't have anything to add to that. I was surprised at the timing. It just seemed a bit odd, but I think you're right. You know, you have until this date to agree to a pay cut, and we'll kind of go from there or not. So the Steelers bite the bullet on that, and you know, basically,
you know, as far as offseason work now, I mean, none of that stuff has really changed. I mean, you're going to hope to get David DeCastro signed to a long-term deal. I still think there's a good chance that Lawrence Timmons gets extended between now and the start of the regular season. We'll, of course, see what happens with a guy like Le'Veon Bell. But, I mean, if you get stuff done with Timmons and DeCastro, that's going to free up, you know, probably enough cap room for you to do a few other things, you know, as well. Now, obviously, if you get a deal done with Le'Veon Bell, his cap charge in 2016 is going to go up. You can always go to the bank of Ben Roethlisberger for whatever money you need. And I'm, you know, right now they haven't, unfortunately, haven't had to do that. But you know, maybe in several more weeks they look at things and say, okay, we need another $3 or $4 million, and that's kind of smart instead of just going right out and you know, borrowing from the bank of Ben, you know, just a round even number when they might not even be sure what that number, you know, might be at this point that they might need.
Yeah, exactly. So they, you know, they clearly are in a position of having flexibility, and that's what you're looking for. So, you know, Dave, really the feature of what's happened since, you know, you and I have sat down and talked about stuff, is really the two big trades at the front of the draft. And, you know, we had the one last week with the Titans. I don't think that surprised a lot of people in terms of the Titans looking to move back, because they've got their quarterback in Marcus Mariota and they've got their backup in Zach Mettenberger. So they're set at that position, and I thought they got an unbelievably good haul. Now, you know, the Rams, they were on the other side of this deal back in 2012 with RG3. They didn't make a ton out of that. They got a couple good starters, but a lot of the guys that they drafted, you know, haven't really panned out to be a lot. We'll see what happens with the Titans, but I loved what they got. And then, of course, the deal this week, Paul DePodesta and Sashi Brown make their first big move. And clearly, it's very clear what the Browns are doing. They are absolutely mailing it in for 2016. And it would honestly surprise me if they don't have the number one overall pick in 2017, the 2017 draft. They let four of their best players walk in free agency. They now have 12 picks in this draft. They only moved back from 2 to 8, and they got a ton for it. They got a first-round pick next year, which I think I might have done the deal just for that. And they get a second-round pick in 2018, which is, you know, way down the road. They get a third and a fourth this year. They give up a fourth this year. So I thought it was a really good move for them. You know, they can go a lot of different directions. They're not going to have their quarterback. They'll give RG3 the opportunity to see if he can resurrect his game. So you got RG3 and Josh McCown, which, you know, there are worse quarterback situations in the league than RG3 and Josh McCown, but they're going to be awful. But you know, the 12 picks this year, the second first round pick next year, I think they have another second next year as well, and then they're going to get a bunch of high comp picks for losing, you know, Mitchell Schwartz and you know, on down the line. I mean, they lost, help me out, the receiver went to San Diego. They lost a couple other guys on the defensive side of the ball. I'm drawing blanks on guys' names right now, but you know, I think they're in really good shape, and I like the deal for both teams that traded back.
Well, here's the thing. If, A, you don't need a quarterback, and, B, if you do need a quarterback and you don't like the two guys at the top of the draft for whatever reason, it's obvious that Hugh Jackson doesn't, then that's another reason to trade back. So I think we understand completely why the Titans and the Browns did what they did. On the flip side, it takes two to tango, and you know, that's what you see with the Rams and the Eagles. Personally, I like Wentz more than I do Goff. I think Wentz, you know, is one of those guys that we'll be talking about in 4 or 5 years as potentially being the best quarterback of this draft class, whatever that is. You know, I'm not saying he's going to be a Pro Bowl. I'm just saying that, you know, 4 or 5 years, I think we'll be looking back as Wentz as being the best in this class. However, you know how I feel about these Browns and these quarterbacks, David. I still would draft one, and I still probably would draft two, you know, at some point during this
season. With RG3 and Josh McCown? Absolutely. Why not build the rest of your team this year and go into next year's draft and look for your guy?
Because, look, I think after round three or so, I think you're pressing to get a starter anyway. But let's say you just got another young guy that you could probably feel comfortable with being your backup. Moving forward, the more competition, the better. I don't think RG3 is the answer. I think this is a one and done deal with Cleveland, to be quite honest with you. McCown, you know, look, he is what he is. I mean, how much time does he have left? He's probably the better of the two quarterbacks there right now. So why not bring in? To me, it's the mud on the wall technique here when it comes to quarterbacks.
What if you're not trying to win this year?
Well, I mean, why not throw some mud up on the wall and see, you know, you got enough picks and see if you can come away with this.
Okay,
with a guy.
So you're not saying take a quarterback in the first or second round?
No. I'm saying round 3, round 4, and again in round 6 or whatever. I would bring up enough. I would bring in competition. I wouldn't just not draft a quarterback just because I've traded out. Now, obviously, in the first round, you're not going to, in my opinion, you're not going to reach for a Paxton Lynch at 8 overall or whatnot. And who knows, David? Maybe they're not done dealing. Even though I think they said it's unlikely that they have any more trades with that first round. Let's say they can move down, you know, another 5-6 spots and pick up, you know, a couple more picks. Why wouldn't you use, you know, some of those one or two of those picks, you know, from, let's say, round 3 on a quarterback or two? I would, because I just don't think what you've got there. I mean, obviously, it's not the future. They're not going to win a Super Bowl with RG3. Heck, they're not even going to make the playoffs with RG3 or McCown, in my opinion.
They might not win 3 games.
Right, so why not get some more bodies in there? And
well, they're going to get a ton of bodies in there. I mean, that's definitely going to happen. I mean, they're going to get, you know, Saucy
well,
said they're
talking
to get
about
four
the quarterback
starters.
Position.
Well, he said they're trying to get 4 starters at the top of the draft.
Right, and I'm talking about the quarterback position.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, it's obvious they're going to have, you know, a ton of draft, and it'll be fun from the analytics point of view.
The question is, if you can draft a safety in the third round that you think, you know, might start for you, or you can draft Christian Hackenberg or Cardale Jones, you know, which way do you go when you know that they're not going to play for you this year? You know, look, I don't think anything they do in terms of what position they draft is wrong. Nobody's going to say, oh, they took a guy for the wrong position. They just have needs all over the field. I mean, if you're Paul DePodesta and Sashi Brown right now, it's probably an exciting time. I mean, you made the move back, and now you got the next, you know your team's not going to be good this year, and that's got to be frustrating. But you know you've got a ton of picks the next 2 years, and you can scheme, and we can have this conversation. I'm sure they've had this conversation times 100 about, you know, do we want to take a quarterback? Do we want to actually load up on defense this year so these guys, you know, all of these guys in 2017 will have a year experience, we'll have a ton of guys, and we go find our quarterback? Do we want to, you know, load up at receiver just because our offense isn't going to be any good because we're not on the quarterback, you know, just focus on the offensive line because we got holes there and the defensive side of the ball? I mean, how much fun would you and I have if we got to go sit in that seat the next 18 months?
Yeah, most definitely. David, you know the best way to avoid drafting a poor quarterback?
Get a good one.
No, don't draft a quarterback.
Yeah, right.
But I mean, we've seen this movie, though, before from the Browns, right?
Well, you know, yeah, we've seen it with different guys. Sure, we've seen it with different guys. The one thing I don't think we've seen is the tear-down approach of letting, you know, four quality players go. Just Travis – I'm trying to think. Mitchell Schwartz, Travis Benjamin – who are the two guys on the defensive side of the ball that I'm forgetting?
Well, Mack's no longer there either, right?
Alex Mack, right? And then there was one more. Dante Whitner. Yeah, he walked. They cut him, and then somebody else walked.
Was it a linebacker?
It was a linebacker. So anyway, so they're going to get the comp picks, and you know, you look to. I mean, so what they obviously when they signed RG3. They knew they didn't want Goff or Wentz. I mean, that's clear now. And so they knew that they wanted to move back if they could. You can't signal that too early. But so they sign RG3. They take a complete flyer. And, you know, it's a complete flyer. That's all it is. I mean, there's no other way to say it. They spent a little bit of money. Maybe they got a lottery ticket. Most likely they didn't. And so they've got somebody at the position because they didn't like the guys at the top of the draft. You know, we'll see if they take another flyer on a Cardale Jones in the third round or something, and or Dak Prescott or something like that, and then go from there.
Well, like I said, I think it'll be fun over the years now, you know, assuming that they stick with this model and they don't fire everybody after one season, to go back and look at this from an analytics point of view, you know, look at the spark ratings of the players that they drafted, you know, try to analyze these picks all the way around, because there's going to be a lot of money ball, of course, involved in it. And it kind of reminds you maybe a little bit. Of course, we have to wait to judge the outcome. But what the Dallas Cowboys did many, many moons ago with Jimmy Johnson, right, and trading away Herschel Walker and then basically cutting all of those picks that they got because they knew they were going to get draft picks for those kind of thing. And then, of course, you know, they hit on a lot of those, you know, they turned a lot of those draft picks into players that ended up eventually winning them a Super Bowl. And you know, they had drafted a quarterback in Troy Aikman that really was horrible his rookie season. So it'll be interesting to watch this whole process, yes. But I guess by now a lot of our listeners think they maybe tuned into Browns Depot.
Yeah, Browns Depot. That's what we got. We got Browns Depot going on. I mean, there's not much else to say. I mean, so it looks like Goff goes one, Wentz goes two. Dave, do you think I think his name's Weissman of the Eagles. Do you think he called Les Snead and said, hey, Les, we're thinking about making a deal for number two. Can you give me a hint as to what you're thinking? Or that's just out of bounds, and he made the deal thinking that we'll be happy with either one?
It's so hard. You mean Howie Roseman, right?
Howie Roseman, right. Sorry.
Yeah. I'm not. I don't even know where I weigh in on that, David.
You know, that would be an interesting story down the road. I'm guessing if he
did. I haven't given it a lot of thought. You know, you know that Peterson knows that they don't have a quarterback there. I mean, let's face it, I've said all along Sam Bradford's not the answer there. They're obviously moving up to do that. You know, this kind of smells of a we want to kind of win now kind of move, though, right?
Well, they've got $60 million into the quarterback position in the next 2 years. So they got $22 million guaranteed on Bradford. He'll get $18 this year, and then they can let him walk or trade him if he has a good year. And they're only on the hook for $4 million of guaranteed money after that. So he's going to be the guy this year. The thing that is obviously a little bit odd is maybe it's not. I don't know. But, you know, Dave, we always laugh about the fact that there's no quarterback in the league making between $5 and $15 million, except Chase Daniel. Chase Daniels signs a deal 3 years, $21 million. I mean, well, you know, that's huge backup money. And you figured he was going to be the heir apparent, and he's probably rethinking the whole thing now. You know, I went to Philly. Bradford's got one more year. I learned the system, and I'm gonna have a real shot to be the guy. And now he's got to be going. You know, I signed for a lot of money, but maybe I never have the shot to be the guy.
Yeah, and, you know, are they going to bring the quarterback along too quick in Philly? I mean, is Philly another team that could actually be slated to go, you know, to pick in the top 10 again next year?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. You know, it feels like, you know, they've turned over the roster as much as Chip did the year before, so it'll be interesting to see. I mean, they obviously paired all the money. I mean, look, they traded the Brandon Browner, and they, you know, traded DeMarco Murray. They have really cut down on the money. They've spent money at the quarterback position. So I don't know what they're going to be like. And what, we can see them twice, right? We're going to see them in the preseason and then see them in the regular season. Is that right? Yeah, see them in the preseason and the regular season, right?
That sounds right, right? I mean, they play the East this year.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing, though. It's so hard when you have a new coaching staff come in and then the coordinators and all like that. So it's going to, you know, like it or not, it's going to be an adjustment period for them there. I would be surprised if they make the playoffs this year. And on top of that, I would be surprised they're not picking in the top 10 next year. So, boy, if you're going to go up and get a quarterback,
which,
like
by the
this,
way, would be great for the Browns, right? Two picks in the top 10.
Yeah, if you're going to go up like this, you dang sure better get it right, right?
Yeah, you sure hope you get it right. That's for damn sure. Other news on the I'm trying to think of, you know, we've seen some player suspensions. Dallas had another guy suspended. You know, they're an interesting – both San Diego and Dallas are now really interesting spots because San Diego didn't need a quarterback, so they basically can pick any player they want in the draft. Their board, their number one player on the board is available to them. And will it be Tunsil? Will it be Ramsey? Do they move back? Because obviously there's talk about them moving back. And then Dallas is fascinating because a lot of people tied them to a quarterback. Well, they're obviously not going to go that way at four. And then is Ezekiel Elliott a guy who you take at four? And if they don't take him at four, how far does he fall? Because, I heard Jaws say yesterday that he thought Ezekiel Elliott might turn out to be the best player in his draft. Lots of comparisons to Le'Veon Bell. And so we go from devaluing the running back position, saying, you know, you don't use a first-round pick on a running back position, to Todd Gurley, to could Ezekiel Elliott go four? But if he doesn't go four, where's he go?
Well, you know, with the Cowboys, too, they also have, what, DeMarcus Lawrence now suspended, right?
Yeah, so do you have to go Joey Bosa?
I don't think you do it just to do it, but I think you do it if Bosa's on the top of your board. It sure does match in need, most definitely. I think that's the way you could actually see the Cowboys go if they stand pat. I would be surprised if they're that early they go running back. I think Elliott, while the top rated running back, deservedly in this year's draft, in my opinion, I still think he goes outside of the easily outside of the top 10.
I'm sorry, you think Ezekiel won't go to Dallas and then he's out of the top 10? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Who else in the, and so then I guess, you know, the Ravens are going to have a pick of pretty much what they want, right?
They could get a gift of Ramsey, right?
They could get Ramsey, or they could get Tunsil, or they could get Staley, they could get Bosa. I mean, you know, if Ezekiel, well, they're not taking Ezekiel Elliott, right? So if Ezekiel Elliott goes four, they're going to be laughing at six.
Right, because they're going to have a pick, pick of. I mean, even look at it this way. How are they a wide receiver? Would a guy like Treadwell or Coleman even interest them? Remember, their first round pick from last year was a wide receiver, and he's yet to see the field. Steve Smith's another year older. I mean, they've got some other bodies over there, but could they be tempted by you know, one of those top receivers? I wonder how many of these teams are, though, David, in the top five, or remaining in the top, let's say, seven at this point, outside of teams like the Rams and the Eagles, of course. I wonder how many are just staring at that phone, hoping it rings so they can trade. You know, everybody clamoring maybe to trade back because of there still being a lot of talent there. You know, in the top 20 overall, as far as players go.
Dave, we're gonna have our listeners make their lists of the 40 guys if they can nail all 31. But you know, I would now start to make a bet that a receiver doesn't go in the top 15 and maybe the top 20 picks. But here's the great thing for the Steelers. I'm guessing Washington doesn't go corner at 21. Now, they apparently have some interest in Josh Norman, so we'll see what happens with that. But once you get past 21, 22, 23, and 24 might all go wide receiver. I mean, and in fact, in McShay's mock yesterday, he had all three of them going receiver, and it's obviously the Bengals at 24. They are highly likely to go wide receiver. I mean, they lost two in free agency. So they lost Marvin Jones. They lost Mohamed Sanu. And they'll probably have the pick at worst of the third best receiver in the draft. At 23, Minnesota, they need to get Bridgewater some help at wide receiver. It wouldn't surprise anybody if they went receiver. And then who's – I know the Jets are 20, Washington's 21. I'm doing it off the top of my head. Who's 22?
I don't have the draft order in front of me.
Yeah, I'll pull it up. Whoever it is, they also could end up going wide receiver. So what's interesting is that you know, the Steelers, once the Skins make their pick at 21, you know, the Steelers may actually be able to know exactly who they're going to take without having any worries. It's the Texans at 22.
Yeah, it goes Texans, Vikings, Bengals, and then
the
Steelers.
Yeah, so the Texans, you know, they need somebody, you know, ever since Andre Johnson left, they need somebody to play next to Nuke. So it would make sense for them to go, you know, for Brock Osweiler, get him another receiver. So all three, I would say – you know, I would bet, you know, 90% chance the Bengals go receiver, 80% chance the Vikings go receiver, and probably 70% chance the Texans go wide receiver, all of which would help the Steelers in a big way.
Well, you remember the Texans drafted Jalen Strong, right?
Yep.
So I think I would be surprised if they went wide receiver, to be quite honest with you. And back to your original statement there, David, I think two wide receivers go in the top 20. I just don't see how that doesn't happen. I will be shocked if that doesn't happen.
Okay. Well, it should be interesting to see. McShay had none going, you know, he had the first one going at 22 yesterday on his mock. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. But obviously, any receiver going before the Steelers pick is a good thing. They're not going receiver in the first round.
Let's see here. Questions. On Monday, Kevin Colbert and Mike Tomlin will be holding their annual pre-draft press conference. Will you be there, A, and what kind of questions do you plan on asking?
Unclear if I'll be there, because I have to say, we don't often get a lot of information from Mike or Kevin, and understandably, it's not a complaint or a criticism. This is the zero information. I mean, Kevin said everything he's going to say. He said, you know, it's a defense-heavy draft. We're going to be looking at defense because of what we did in free agency. What more is he going to add? They're not going to answer any player-specific questions. Maybe they'll talk about going to different pro days and, you know, who they had dinner with. I mean, maybe you could ask them. Maybe that would be something interesting to see if they added some names to the couple that we already know. But, you know, I'll certainly listen to it. If I don't go, I just don't expect a lot to come out of it.
Well, here's the thing, though. I can think of a lot of non-draft related questions.
that's fair enough. Go ahead, fire away.
You know, did they indeed inquire about Josh Norman? I mean, look, I think as soon as that report came out, we all knew that that stuff wasn't going to happen. But it'd be fun to put Kevin on the spot to find out if they, you know, what that phone call might have been like, even though we were going to get a generic answer from him, as one would expect you would. Here's another thing I would like to ask. Does the organization still place a lot of emphasis on tangible evidence when it comes to interceptions that college defensive backs registered during their careers? Remember how much time Tomlin and Kevin Colbert spent after last year's draft talking about tangible evidence and all the interceptions that the defensive backs that they drafted had? Will that all of a sudden go away this year? So I think that would be another interesting question to ask them prior to this year's draft. Of course, we'd probably get a generic answer, but it's fun to put those words that they came out of their mouth back in the limelight one full year later.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. And, you know, if I'm Kevin, my answer is obviously production on the field in college matters. So, you know, that's an important part of what we evaluate. And certainly if it's production or not production, we'll lean toward production.
Right. But I mean, they had the addition already done for us, you know,
right.
when Kevin and Mike talked to the media last year. Here's something else, David, I think would be a great question. You know, we've done the studies on the cornerbacks that the Steelers have drafted dating back to 2000, and they've only drafted seniors. Okay. So I would ask Kevin Colbert, is it just a coincidence that the organization only likes to select cornerbacks who entered the draft after their senior seasons?
Yeah, that's a good one. I hadn't thought of that. That's a legit good question.
And let's see. I mean, we could ask about Antonio Brown and extension. It'd be interesting to hear Kevin talk about Cortez Allen post release, and if indeed it's centered around him taking a pay cut. Kevin probably not going to give you a straight answer on that. And where does Kevin and the organization sit right now on Jarvis Jones? I mean, the fifth-year option has to be picked up real, real soon. Surely they've made a decision by now as far as what direction that's going to go. So those are just a few things. And I'm with you. Look, I mean, if the media keeps this thing, you know, centralized only on the draft, we're not going to learn anything. Not that we're going to learn anything by the questions that I have proposed. You know, the media asked, but with that said, it sure would be fun to watch him have to answer some of these questions.
Yeah, no, those are good ideas, and if I'm there, I will certainly use some of those. Good stuff.
And with that said, folks, we hope you enjoyed this edition of the podcast. You can follow me on Twitter at Steelers Depot. You can follow David on Twitter at David M. Todd. Follow the show at Terrible Podcast. Email the show, theterriblepodcast@gmail.com. Alex and I made it a point to thank a lot of the donations, the people that donated on the last podcast. So we encourage you to keep those up, and you can do so by going to SteelersDepot.com and hitting that donate button up there on, you know, at the top of the navigational bar. And, David, we'll see if we have you back on Monday. But if not, hopefully you and I can get together, after each round or
Absolutely. I'm good to go on Monday, and we will get together. I'll be in Los Angeles, but we'll have a chance to talk on Friday morning, Saturday morning, and Sunday morning as we or at least on Monday as we recap what's been going on. And as always, thanks for listening to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave.